Welcome to the best bad podcast on the internet. We just overemphasize that. We got a new format, obviously. Still the same show, but new format. I'm Pastor Stewart. This is Pastor Brandon Neely. We have producer Matt over here for the first time on the camera.
On the fuzzy mic.
On the fuzzy mic.
Getting doxxed as we speak.
Getting doxxed. If there's ever a problem, guess who we're going to blame? It's going to be you, sir. And Jeff, the Godfather Cook. As usual, the fixer of any issues. If you need something fixed in St. Landry Parish, Jeff is the guy to call.
Acadia, too.
Acadia, too, he says. Oh, especially. If you guys don't mind jumping on your social media feeds, click the share button, toss this out into the abyss that is Facebook social media right now, and come and tune in and get used to the things that we're doing. People are laughing at us in the comments already, and we just started. I don't think they're laughing with us. I'm pretty sure that they're laughing at us, but that's okay. We've got lots of cool things that we're talking about today. We've got news segments coming up. Today we're going to be talking about, is it fake news or is it not fake news?
Mm.
That's going to be exciting. Warren Carrier is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in, bro. Come on in and have a seat. The peanut gallery, indeed. We're going to be talking about fake news or not. That's going to be the first thing that we deal with today. Then we're going to be going to talk about Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry.
Mm.
That's one of my favorite psalms, mostly because it's terrifying.
It's your word to the mayor.
It is, actually.
It's your message to the mayor, publicly, literally. Right here. This is the moment.
But what if I've already said that?
Don't you know him?
Yeah. But I've already said that to him.
Hot seat.
At his inauguration. It was awkward.
I'll speak to the Donald.
Very few people clap.
Speak to the mayor. There you go.
Let's say it. We'll fit it just like that.
You've already said it. Yeah.
And nobody clapped after I said it. Like, nobody. They were like, you didn't say the...
What a freak.
What's
weirdo.
What's wrong with you? Why you gotta read the Bible out here and stuff?
Here we go.
But anyway, and then at the very last end of our show, we're going to put Jeff Cook... Jeff, what is your title at Sterling?
Sales director.
Ooh. See, I was waiting for something long. Like, I wanted...
Director of sales?
That's
better.
That's better. Done. We're going to put Jeff Cook in the hot seat at the end of the show today and ask a few questions. That'll be fun and uncomfortable. For the record, I wrote none of these questions. They're all from your brother-in-law. So if you got a problem with them later, you take it up with that guy on the end of the table.
And we might change them by the time we get there.
Yeah, I'll tell you whatever you want to throw out.
Oh, look at that. He's feeling brave. But very first, before we do anything, I'm going to turn the mic over to producer Matt, and we're going to play a little game called Fake News or Not. Now, here's the running joke. Oh, we had sound effects. Did you guys hear that?
Of course we do. It's producer Matt.
Oh, my God.
Playing it.
Fake News or Not. Welcome. So here's the deal. We get it every time, don't we?
Maybe every time you say it.
Fake news or not? It was delayed. It wasn't there. Come on, Matt. Come on. So here's the deal. I get made fun a lot because I don't know what's happening in the world around me. Buddy Carrier just walked in with two cases of Blue Moon because he's my hero. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. We are doing this thing right now. I get made fun a lot because I don't know what goes on in the world, because while I run a social media management company, I don't actually pay that much attention to the world of social media because it just makes me angry most of the time. We're just being completely...
You have children.
I have children and jobs and a church to pastor and all those wonderful things. So I don't know what's going on in the world around me very much. So the whole idea of this bit is producer Matt is going to tell us two headlines, and I have to figure out if it's fake news or if it's real news. You can walk past it, buddy. That's fine.
Two or three.
Doesn't matter. He's got...
Christchurch and Friends.
Church.
Two or three.
Are we doing two or three?
We're doing two.
We're doing two. Okay, we're doing two. All right, what's the first one?
Okay.
Hit me.
Get it ready.
He's skilled. He's very skilled.
Our first headline. California governor announces ban on all gas-powered cars by 2035. Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order Wednesday that amounts to the most aggressive clean car policy in the United States. Although it bans the sale of new gas cars and trucks after the 15-year deadline, it will still allow such vehicles to be owned and sold on the used car market.
So the headline is
California governor announces ban on all gas-powered cars by 2035.
All gas-powered cars?
In 15 years.
Correct. That can't be...
Nixed off the earth.
That can't be real.
That's what I just said.
That can't... That's not...
But fake that's
news
what
or
I
not.
Just said.
Fake news. That's fake news.
Well, you got to hear the second one.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
You got to hear... They're pit against each other.
Okay, they're...
So we're going to get two at a time.
And we figure out which one's real.
We're figuring this out as we go.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Second headline. Tesla's new automobile will be entirely biodegradable. Tesla announced that the new vehicle, being dubbed the Tesla Renew, will be made of 100% reused materials and will be entirely biodegradable. Eccentric CEO Elon Musk says, "The Renew will be our answer to the increasing dangers of living in a dying world, and all automotive companies with a conscience must move in the same direction for the sake of all humans." Which out of those two?
Before he answers, I gotta say that I always feel like my car is degrading. Under my
thanks a lot, Jeff.
True.
Can we blame you for this?
Can we make a car that doesn't degrade? Can we make a car that doesn't degrade?
That stays in function.
Like a Honda, maybe, or like something that really lasts. I don't want a biodegradable car.
My Honda literally will last forever.
I want to buy a car.
Even though it is missing most parts right now.
That's okay. It doesn't need any of those parts to keep going.
Still going.
None of the parts.
All right, so which one's fake?
All right.
Which one's fake?
I don't know. Which one's fake?
Is there a time date?
You have the gasoline power.
On the second headline.
So I tried to stay away.
From timestamps,
unless it was in the first.
So the next Tesla will be completely biodegradable.
The next one.
The next Tesla. That's got to be fake news.
The Renew.
That has to be fake news. So
are you calling it?
I'm saying the Tesla headline's fake news. Fake news.
You got it.
No, really?
You did. Yep. Which means
I'm feeling
that California governor will be banning
all
gas-powered vehicles by 2035.
So I have a question.
That's insane.
Since we got a car guy with us, we need to hear what he's
saying. I got a California question.
Okay, go.
They can't keep power now.
Right. They already got a rolling blackout.
All these electric cars.
It's already happening.
Are also going to pull from the grid. So where's the power going to come from?
Brown.
Unicorn? Sunshine?
You hate to have a blackout.
That's the real question. Where are you going to go?
My thing is, like, you need a gasoline car to make it out of California.
Correct. Maybe that's your plan to keep everyone in.
Do the U-Hauls run on electricity? That's what I'm wondering.
So Rachel and I just made the pilgrimage to Tennessee for reasons that shall not be named. But we just went up to Tennessee for the Fight Laugh Feast conference.
Moscow Man Bag.
Don't say it. So we just went up to Tennessee for the Fight Laugh Feast conference, and on my way there, you know, it's like, what, a 10-hour drive to Franklin, something like that? And so I said to my wife, I was like, could you imagine how awful this drive would be if we were driving a Tesla? Because every 3 hours, you got to pull over, recharge the car, and then go again. Yep. That would have been so rough. So no whatsoever gas motors.
15 years.
In 15 years.
In 15 years, it's all over.
That can't be... Okay.
No, it's real.
It's real.
Okay. All right. What's the next one? What's the next one?
Got two more headlines for you.
Okay, go.
Amazon introduces ability to pay with your hands. In a blog post, the company unveiled its own palm recognition technology known as Amazon One. The technology, first rolling out in Amazon's home market of Seattle, will use people's palms to identify them and combine that with details of the palm, such as lines and ridges, to build a palm signature.
Whoa. Okay.
There you go.
That's the first one. I mean, I'm kind of believing that one right now.
I'm kind of believing that one.
Okay.
That's the mark of the beast kind of.
So we're not talking about computer chips in your body.
No,
we're talking about palm reading.
It seems
palm
according reading. To this headline that it is a palm reading.
That it comes out as tarot cards.
That's exactly right.
It also tells you how your day is going to go.
Now, producer Matt, if your income, this you're paying with your palm, right?
That's true.
So, like, how do you evade taxes? Like, how does Donald Trump only pay $750?
If they can't find
it. How can I pay $750 if I have to use my palm?
Right. Well, poor people are dirty, so they won't be able to use it because their
hands
are
dirty. Oh, my gosh.
So they won't be able
to. So I don't have to use
it. So you don't have to use it.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, you can't use it. It's not for you.
You're out of here. None of those farmer hands nonsense. All right, next.
The second headline.
Next.
That may or may not be real. Tech giant Google instates new no gender clause. Google CEO Sundar Pichai, I hope I'm saying that right, I don't know, has announced a new company clause called the gender-neutral office, which would prevent any Google employee to ask on any official documents the gender of any faculty member. The CEO said of the new clause, "We have taken away all hurdles and gaps between genders at Google, and our office should reflect our effort to equalize the office totally."
These, you did great work here, Producer Matt.
Amen.
I really...
He did. That was great.
I
thought of these literally like 10 minutes ago.
Imagine if this wasn't poorly planned.
If I would have graduated high school.
Oh. Imagine if you would have went to a classical Christian school.
Christ Church Academy.
Oh, dang. Little plug.
.org.
All right, so what? Okay, so, the first one. So the second one was
Palm Reader.
Palm Reader, Amazon.
No gender, Google.
Well, if those are the two choices, I'm going to go with Palm Reader, Amazon. That's got to be fake news.
So Palm Reader's fake news?
Yes. Final answer.
It's not.
Palm Reader
is the real one.
Are you serious?
Killed that one.
Serious. Oh, wait, did you guys know this stuff? Do y'all know these headlines?
I don't understand. What is no gender Google? What is that?
That's actually...
That's the fake one.
Okay.
But it is a little believable.
It sounds totally
believable.
No pronouns. Nothing.
That's right. Apparently.
Probably to some effect that has happened.
I'm sure you probably got some kind of weird rules.
You made that up all by yourself.
I didn't even use...
He's a skilled employee.
This is my macaroni art, Dad. Appreciate me.
You have some latent gifts there that are really starting to blossom.
He's got some stuff going.
You should work for CNN.
He's got some stuff. I'm impressed. This is awful. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for joining us for the first opening segment, Fake News or Not. Let us know if you liked it in the comments. If you've got ideas or suggestions for fake news articles, drop them in the comments later on. We'll be looking back through those. Well, I won't be. Producer Matt will be, so that we can pull up a few things and get some things rolling. Also, we don't even have a name for this show yet, so if you have suggestions on name, then we would greatly appreciate those. Or for any additional future segments, feel free to go ahead and drop those in the comments, and we'll move right on from there. Next things, are you guys ready? We're going to turn this over. We're going to learn a little bit about Psalm 2 today, right?
Yeah, Pastor Brandon? So I have to follow that fun and exciting time.
With the Bible.
Yeah.
Which is fun and exciting.
We can do this.
I'm ready.
And we want people to stay tuned, because at the end, we're going to place Jeff there on the hot seat.
Jeff the Godfather Cook is going to answer some hard questions later on.
He's going to tell us what he really feels.
I don't know.
Because about whatever we ask him.
I'm in. No problem.
I feel like it's going to be good.
No nuance allowed.
No nuance.
Burn it down. This is fine.
Burn it all down.
But anyway, Pastor Brandon, this is one of my favorite passages. Kiss the son lest he be angry. Mm. You can't read that passage without some cojones.
Look, I got
to... You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to go ahead and out him, but Pastor Kirk, one of my closest friends and pastor of Christ Church, he recently met with Josh Guillory, the mayor of Lafayette.
The mayor.
And I said, well, now what did y'all talk about? And he said, I basically told him to kiss the son. Lest he be angry with
thee. Get it, Kirk.
So this is like a Christ Church, cliche or a Christ Church expression. Kiss the son. Like, what do we mean when we say that?
Yeah.
And what we mean is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the king over the kings. What we mean is that political talk belongs behind the pulpit.
That sounds like a meaty moment. Would you like to say that so I can cue the segment?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our meaty moment.
I have no idea.
In context, that's the worst.
I have no idea what just happened.
Is that a door shutting?
It's supposed to be a person getting punched in the stomach. It doesn't translate at all.
We can barely hear it.
Doesn't translate at all.
We promise to get better.
We need studio monitors for our people out here, because they don't know anything that's going on. All right, so let's go.
So Jesus is Lord is a political statement. Jesus is King over the kings is a political statement. The gospel is political. That's what King of Kings means. Listen, this is such a terrible heresy that has invaded the church, that there is these two kingdoms, so to speak. There's the church and then there's the government. Hmm. And the church is not supposed to be involved in politics. However, the government is free to tell us what blue circle to pray in, you know, how to sing, not do Lord's Supper, how far to stand from each other in the middle of worship, what fountain to drink from, and where to sit on in the bus. The government wants to tell us all of these things. So it's like there's this idea that there's two kingdoms, church and state, and the only way it works is that the state basically tells us how to do church. How to live life. Oh, what's the big deal? You can have a Zoom call for church.
Mm-hmm.
No. This heresy is the problem with the church in America. It is one of the problems with the church in America.
Mm.
As though there is some sphere or some sector of society that Jesus is not Lord over.
Now, we should say, we've talked about this before, and we should say, now what we're not saying is that the church, we just trade positions with the state. And now the church runs everything. The church runs the state.
It's very important to teach people the essence of Kuyperianism or Calvinism. We're talking about three separate spheres, the church, the family, and the state, all established by God. Mm-hmm. The family was established in Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. The state was established in Genesis chapter 9 as Noah gets off the ark in the Noahic covenant. And the church was established in the mind of God before the very foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. These are three institutions. They do not oversee one another. So we don't have tyranny of the state. We don't have tyranny of the church. Mm. We don't have an ecclesiocracy. Mm-hmm. Nor do we have a status tyranny, mm-hmm. but what we do have is Jesus over all three spheres.
Amen.
And Jesus and his word and his revelation in both the Bible and in creation guides us in how to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so essentially when we say kiss the Son, a phrase from Psalm 2, what we mean is that political rulers called ministers in Romans chapter 13, ministers of Christ, political rulers should submit, should publicly and openly submit to Jesus as Lord and should rule according to his law, and then they will rule justly. If they refuse to submit to his law, if they refuse to do justice, then they can expect his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
This has been exhibited in human history, and this is the defining issue of our nation right now. Will the political sphere, will the magistrate, will the minister of Christ, Romans 13, do justice by obeying King Jesus?
Period.
Not just the pastors, not just Christians in their prayer closets and on church for 30 minutes on Zoom. No, all of life. If you want justice in this world, you have to ask, how do we define justice?
By what standard?
And the standard is Jesus' law. He knows what justice is. He is justice.
Right.
And so that's the, sort of the big picture. That's basically, we just summarize all of our God and Government podcasts
in
like
5 seconds. 3 minutes. That's right. Well done.
But Psalm 2 is a pivotal psalm. It is one of the, like, the mountain peaks of Christ as King over kings.
Okay.
Christ as the Lord over the civil sphere.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? So if you get to talk to a magistrate, to a political official, and he's saying, oh, I'm so glad all the ministers are meeting with me, and, oh, you ministers, you are this and you are that, we want to stop him and say, hey, just so you understand, you're a minister. You're a minister of the civil sphere, a minister of Christ, Romans 13. And you, too, must bow in humility and in submission to the King of Kings.
And this is, that's a scary moment for a lot of pastors to have, because in the world that we live in right now, we want to have a good relationship with our governing authority in case we need a favor from them later. You know what I'm talking about? We want to say, like, no, like, let's stay close together. I'm going to be nice to you so that if I need some help later, maybe it's with a zoning issue, maybe I'm trying to build a building or something, you'll leverage for me.
Well, I'll go one step further. How many martyrs have been calls, oh,
bruh.
Kiss the Son.
For real. What was it? Was yesterday the day that William Tyndale, was it yesterday?
That's right, yesterday.
Yesterday was the day that we celebrate William Tyndale's death. You know, the first man who translated the Bible into English.
That's right.
Right? From the Latin Vulgate, I think it was. I mean, that's amazing stuff right there. He said, no, King, you listen. In fact, his dying words on the fire pit, y'all remember what those were.
Yep.
Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Even William...
He had an all-of-Christ and all-of-life worldview.
Right. Mm-hmm. So super controversial.
We're going big here, but Christ Church has got to raise up ministers, not just for the church sphere. We don't need any more poor pastors. What we need are civil magistrates who fly the flag of Christ and who have some balls, who have some guts, who are ready to stand up for what Christ says.
Amen.
And listen, if you don't have Christ as your standard... If you don't have Christ as your king, and then you're a company man.
No shot.
Yeah, you're a company man. You're a sellout. You're just going to be a victim of the zeitgeist. You're going to be the guy cowering in the corner that won't stand up for Rosa Parks. Don't tell her where to sit. You have no right to mandate where she stands. You have no political or health care reason to mandate she sits in the back of the bus. We need Christians to stand up and say, she gets to stand in the front of the bus. There's no reason why not. You know, we need Christians who, because they have Jesus on their side, They've got some,
some
real courage.
Right.
You see, you can't go into a battle when you don't have a standard, when you don't have a rock to stand on.
That's right.
When you're just standing on the sand, it's just going to all fall away.
That's full of guilt, too.
That's
You're
full of guilt.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Get pulled around.
You get manipulated by that guilt.
That's right. That's right. But if you have the righteousness of Christ and you stand upon God's words and everything that He says, then you can... You can move.
And you trust Him for the results. If He doesn't want you to be His minister, then fine. You don't get elected.
So be it.
Right?
That's right.
That's right. Man, I wish, you know, Donald Trump recently, he's doing all sorts of stuff.
The Donald.
Oh, man, I pray that one day he would just be like, you know what? I repent of my sins.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'm following Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Man, imagine. How cool would that be? Now, a lot of people would hate that just because it comes out of his mouth. But I don't care. What if Kamala Harris was like, I repent.
Dude, that would be some powerful
stuff.
Jesus
Christ
right there.
Is Lord over this Lord. He sits on a throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ruling over all this earth. The dominion is His. The inheritance is His. Mm. He holds the title deed.
We got a doctor.
And I serve Him.
And I serve Him. Mm. That's right. Come hell or high water. That's it right there.
We got a doctor, Annopoulosis, who's performed nearly 15,000 abortions. Imagine how cool it would be for her. You know, same idea for her to be like, I repent and I follow Jesus. Like, what a cool moment that would be.
You know what that moment would be called?
What?
Reformation.
Boom! Say it!
Truth.
Say it!
Listen, how many pastors think Reformation just happens inside of the prayer closet in the church?
Mm.
Reformation was a political movement. Reformation happens when the pastors finally get courage to preach the Word of God to all of life, and then the political leaders come on board. That's the definition of Reformation.
Mm.
Reformation isn't just over here in our little, you know, our secret little corner over here on Sunday morning for an hour through a Zoom call.
Right.
Reformation is all of life.
We're talking about a public sin.
Submitting to Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And the pushback, of course, is, hey, well, what about people who aren't Christians? Let me tell you this. There is only one worldview on this planet that saves space for non-Christians. And it's Christianity.
Absolutely.
The reason, the idea of religious freedom comes from Christianity.
All of it.
You know, what about Muslims or Buddhists or atheists? They only are safe in a Christian regime because we believe in regeneration. Like, we believe the Holy Spirit has to save someone, not a sword.
Mm.
But I'm telling you, in a secular society where secularism reigns, there will be no freedom of conscience.
Oh, we're seeing it now.
We're already seeing it. It will be totalitarianism. It will be totalitarolerance, as some
would say.
All of it.
That's exactly right. So what we're saying is not an ecclesiocracy. We're not saying the church has to dominate things.
Right.
The church has to stay at its place, just like the family and the state has to stay at its place.
Right.
What we're saying is that the state right now is out of bounds. The state has overreached. The state is beyond its prerogative. It's playing God. And we, for a reformation to take place, we need all three spheres to submit. The hearts of the fathers return to the Son, family repentance, church repentance, state repentance.
Amen.
That's our goal, and we'll leave the results up to Christ.
Amen.
But, you know, we haven't even got to the psalm yet, but the key psalm for all this is Psalm chapter 2. This Psalm chapter 2 is the linchpin for why everything we're saying is for now. You see, that's the issue.
What?
The question is Jesus king over all the earth and over the political realm now or later? See, that's the key.
I see what you're saying. Is he ruling and reigning now? Is he in charge now?
Is he demanding allegiance now? Are the nations supposed to bow to him now? Are they supposed to follow his law now? Or is it in the future in the millennial reign?
Mm.
Or is it just a spiritual allegory that only is taking place in the heart of people?
Okay.
No. Psalm chapter 2 is the linchpin that explains explicitly that Jesus is king over political rulers on earth right now.
Mm. Amen.
Does that make sense? So let me just go into it. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody can get their Bibles.
Or the show notes.
There you go.
I have.
You have the show notes? We need to, maybe one day we'll have show notes for the people. Put all the verses out for people.
I like that. But see, we need to be more than poorly planned before we can pull that off.
If it's worth doing, do it badly. But
we could also plan earlier. That would be awesome too.
That would also. That would also. That's an option.
That's a Christian thing to do.
We'll get there one day. One day.
So we
better each week.
Psalm 2:1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?
Mm.
The kings of the earth, political rulers.
Okay.
Why do the nations and the peoples? We're talking about, and this is controversial, but we're talking not about races, right?
Okay.
We're not talking about the racial categories that evolutionists created, Mongoloid, Caucasoid, Negroid. We're not talking about the different racial sections that evolutionists created.
Right.
We're talking about political entities in Scripture.
Nations.
Nations.
With borders.
With borders for their government.
Okay. Okay.
Open borders for citizens to go back and forth because people are free.
Ooh, say
it
again.
But borders for government. Government has walls, not people. That's we're going off on a tangent.
Somebody, you just stepped on like nine people's toes right there. Just
trying to build a wall. What if I want to go to Mexico?
17 people just left the feed.
What if I want? What if I need to get out of here?
Borders open for
borders for nations, God says in Acts. I wish I could remember the chapter, but he establishes the borders of the nations. He raises up nations and takes them down. He establishes their fault lines and the limits of their jurisdiction. And he gives the child upon whose shoulders the government of the world is. And he is the one who appoints Jesus as king over all the nations, and he appoints the borders of the nations. Nations are good. One world centralized planning government is satanic.
Watch out.
And I don't have time to explain all of that, but bureaucratic one world government is not of Christ. There's nothing wrong with nations, okay?
Mm. You have to know your overlords.
That's right.
You got to know your overlords, he says.
It's good to have multitude of nations. It's it's a balance of powers.
Yep.
You know, it's a restraining force on the evil of man. It's good. Now, nationalism, where you worship your nation as supreme, or idolatry, as in Nazism, that's an idol. Mm. But we have nations, okay?
Okay.
We have peoples. We have kings, political rulers, and they are raging.
Okay.
And they are plotting. Satan and his people always plot behind closed doors. They're afraid to come out public with what they actually believe.
Mm.
That's why I love this podcast. We say out loud what our agenda is.
Uh-oh.
We're not conspiring. There's no plot here. We're out in public.
It's happening.
Right. Trust Jesus. But but political rulers who hate Jesus, who are satanic, conspire.
Amen.
They plot and they scheme. They make decisions in back rooms and smoky filled rooms with the meeting before the meeting.
Ooh.
Right?
I know
so, but then he says, look right here, he says, they plot and they take counsel against the Lord together. Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Capital A.
That means Messiah.
Right.
Messiah means anointed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Saying, what are they going to do? What's this plot? What's this conspiracy engaged in? Let us burst their bonds apart. Right? And cast away their cords from us. So they're conspiring against the Father and his anointed Son, the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, let's break off their cords and their bonds. What is it that man wants? To be autonomous.
Mm.
To be a law unto himself.
Yeah, that's right.
God gives us his law in the Scriptures and in creation. There's some laws in creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a boy. That's a girl. That goes there.
That does not go there.
That doesn't work. Right? There's laws in the Scriptures as well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Special revelation, creation revelation. The Lord gives us these things. And what are the nations doing?
Raging against it.
They're raging against law, principles.
Mm.
The laws of nature, the laws of the Bible. All the laws that the Bible says about ruling a government, the Ten Commandments, they're raging against the Ten Commandments.
And something I want to point out here, too, is that they view it as bondage.
They do.
See the laws of God as oppression, as cords that they have to get away from.
That's
free
right.
Free me from
holding
this
back
law.
From ultimate man.
And they can't say, like the psalmist in Psalm 119, Lord, I delight in your laws.
No.
They're unable to talk that way, to think that way.
They believe the lie of the devil that obeying God's promises and obeying his commandments is holding you back.
Mm.
But that you could be like God if you would reach for that which does not belong to you.
Mm. Yep.
Mm. And so they break the law. And here's the dangerous thing is they have to break laws all the time. They don't all break all the laws all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are constantly suppressing the truth of God and unrighteousness.
Mm.
And it's deteriorating their society.
Mm.
It's destroying their society as they suppress random laws here and there at different times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're suppressing the truth. They're trying to break away from his law. They want autonomous man. What they want is the Garden of Eden without God. What they want is the tree of life, immortality.
They're fighting towards utopia.
Yeah,
they're trying to get to their.
That's
own
what
business.
All this technological, technocratic, bureaucratic, one world, high government. This is what it's all about.
It's all about taking
back that tree of life, giving man immortality, and establishing a society based on man's laws, not God's. It's a constant conspiracy, a constant plot. And it's constantly rearing its head at various times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cultural and political revolution.
Mm.
But what is God doing? He's in the heavens, and what is he doing? Laughing.
That's not very sensitive, though, Brandon.
God mocks people. God mocks people.
That's hurtful.
He laughs.
Why would you say that?
I know. I didn't. You know, it's verse 4. Right?
Oh, it's in the Bible? Wait, hold on.
Who sits in the heavens? I mean, the Bible says that God does as he pleases. And no one can stay his hand.
Boom.
If he puts his hands on you, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he makes a decision, who are you to judge him?
Amen.
To put him in the dock?
Amen.
He sits in the heavens. The Lord holds them in derision. He holds them in mockery. Their laughter, their rebellion is a joke. Because that's not how the world works. You can believe you can fly. You can be R. Kelly all day long. But there's a law of gravity. And you will fly, but only for a short while.
Only for a minute.
That's the same with all the laws. The laws of sexual ethics. The laws of morality. The laws of justice.
We've thrown all that down, too.
A society cannot sustain itself. Right. It cannot fly because the way God has established this world, and as they reject his law and break the cords of his bondage, they degenerate and circle the drain of anarchy. That's what is taking place in America right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God laughs at it.
Dang.
Verse 5, the time is up. His patience is left off. Then he will speak to them in his wrath. And terrify them in his fury, saying, "So God's his patience has run up. He's got wrath for him and fury, right?"
But there is it says then there is like an understanding that there is time where God is patient, and you know the rest of the Bible tells us that too. You know he's patient, he's waiting, but there is a moment where
God is long suffering from the very beginning. He said to Noah, he said, "I'm not going to destroy the earth with a flood.
Mm.
I'm going to be patient with all of mankind and with the creatures." But there's going to be there's a stage that's set for my history to play out,
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when a king refuses to obey and is plotting and conspiring,
mm-hmm,
the time of patience before the cross is over.
Mm-hmm.
The time where he let those Gentile nations do as they please was over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the cross has come, Christendom is coming. Jesus is coming. The Great Commission is going forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to get right. Those days of repentance have come. Now, I'm bringing all kind of stuff in here, right? But maybe people who know their Bibles can start putting it together.
Well,
verse 6, I'll just run through. Go ahead.
Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that's a great picture of what he can do to move.
Went crazy and out and went starting grass.
You want to degrade? Go eat like
an
animal.
That's right.
Nebuchadnezzar said, "My kingdom, Babylon, that I have built."
Trump said the same thing.
Yeah.
What?
This is the greatest economy ever.
I'll build it. I'll build it again.
Oh, my
God. Everybody, come on, man.
Everybody says,
just wait. Just wait.
I know.
Gosh. Well, then God humbles him with Pope Fauci. Like,
oh, dang.
The most
that little 4 foot two effeminate
overlord
Fauci puts Donald Trump in the lockdown.
Oh, dang.
And then he goes through the ball, and everybody's like, "That guy?
That guy just."
Wait a second.
Yep. That's a Nebuchadnezzar moment. But it doesn't appear to me that there's been repentance.
No.
Like,
no.
I'll believe in repentance when I hear the name Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he'll hold a Bible and he'll say God.
That's right.
Never Jesus.
I'm hear. The one on the throne. That's
watch
what I'm going to hear.
Watch
we'll
out.
See. All right. Verse 6. God is showing how he's going to display his wrath. Verse 6, he says, "As for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill." So let me ask y'all. Y'all can see there in the show notes, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is a messianic psalm.
Yep.
At some point in human history, God the Father sets his king on Zion. Now, Zion is a complicated issue, but Hebrews chapter 12 and various other places tell us that that is essentially the spiritual mountain that is over heaven, that is in heaven, that is ruling over the world. Right, there's a lot to say about that.
Kind of the meeting place between the two worlds at times, too.
It is. Mm. And, yeah, and it was originally the mountain that David built the tabernacle on.
Not even a pastor right. over here knowing his Bible. Well done, sir.
Absolutely.
Well done.
So he, at some point, he sets the king on the top of Zion. Okay? He inaugurates him. He, you know, he installs the king. Okay? And verse 7, it gives the decree as well. He says, I'll tell the decree. The king is installed. I'll tell the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now that's some weird phrasing right there. I'm going to show it.
Okay.
But first I want everyone to see.
The show notes section got a lot longer on
this
one.
Yeah, it's hard. But for all my amil and premil and dispy friends out there listening, if you want to know the timing, you have to look at the words that indicate timing. Verse 6, there is a tense in the verb set.
Mm-hmm. I have set.
I have set. Now, of course, it wasn't when this psalm was written, but there's a point in human history when he sits him.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to figure out what point in history this was.
Ooh.
Now, you go down to verse 7, and it says, I will tell of the decree. This is the installation of the king on Zion, the one over which the kings must bow. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Now, that doesn't mean he birthed him.
Mm-hmm.
That is an expression from Psalm 89:26 and from Acts 13:33. Psalm 89:26, he, the Messiah, shall cry to me, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation, and I will make him the firstborn.
Hmm.
Now, what does that mean? Next phrase, the highest of the kings of the earth. The idea of firstborn, the idea of the begotten one, mm-hmm. is related to kingship, to political rule. Okay?
Okay.
So when did he make him the king over all the earth? When was the today? Acts 13:33. Is that Old Testament or New Testament?
That's Old Testament, right?
Acts, yeah.
No. Oh, wait. Oh, my bad. No, sorry. New Testament. Hold on.
Apostles, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension already took place. Mm. Acts 13:33. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So, Acts 13:33, Peter speaking here, I believe, is attributing the moment of begotten Jesus.
Boom. That's interesting.
To Look at the past, to the resurrection.
Mm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Psalm
mm-hmm,
2
mm-hmm.
begins. The warning decree goes forth to the kings 2,000 years ago when Jesus was installed at his ascension at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
When he appears before the Ancient of Days and receives the title deed of the earth, Revelation chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 9, and he is given the dominion over all the earth.
Boom.
It is textually obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It is textually obvious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, what does Jesus have to do now? Verse 8. He's only got to do one thing. Sitting at the right hand of the Father. The dominion's his. The rule's his. He's the king. All he's got to do is ask. What do you think Jesus is going to ask for? Verse 8. Ask of me, and I will make the nations political, bordered areas, along with their kings, the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.
Now, only the ends of the earth in my heart, though. Not like the literal ends of the earth. Like just the inside.
See what we're dealing with here.
Inside. The inside of me ends of the earth, right?
Spiritually in heaven, right?
Right, right.
No. The promise has always been from the very beginning. The earth, Adam, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth. Spiritually? No, fill the earth with babies.
Subdue it.
Subdue the earth. You mean spiritually.
That would be hilarious.
The birds and the fish.
Get to work.
No.
Noah gets off the ark. Same thing. Noah gets off the ark. Exercise dominion over the earth.
Go.
The inheritance is yours. The meek shall inherit the earth. Mm. Cain has no inheritance. He's a wanderer on the earth. The Egyptians, they have no inheritance, no land. They're swallowed in the flood. All of mankind is in flooded. The people of God are given the land, the promised land, the inheritance, which is a type and shadow of the ultimate promised land, which is the earth. It's ours, man. It's ours.
Dude, beautiful. Okay.
And so the government's taking 50% of it.
Well,
that's a judgment on us.
60%. Let's say it that
that's
way.
That's a judgment on
60%,
us. 60%. Taking 70%.
Our inheritance. Buddy Carrier asked the question, what about Mars? You need to go listen to a talk from the Fight Laugh Feast. It's called To the Moon and Back. That was a legit talk. You would get a kick out of that one. And dude talks about...
Bonson?
Was that Bonson?
No, that was Martin.
That was Martin? Okay.
Oh, yeah, Rod Martin.
Dude, look, man, like, he talks about going to the moon and going to Mars. He said he wants to... What was it? He wants to build a church on Mars in, what was it, like 35 years?
A Baptist church.
A Baptist church.
He said that.
That's right. It was legit. Anyway, sorry. I digress.
No, look, it's all ours.
Amen.
In the 1500s, the Spanish Christians built a cathedral in Antigua, Guatemala.
Hmm.
A cathedral across the world.
Like 20 years after they got there. Like, no time.
Yeah, brought all of the equipment across the Atlantic Ocean.
Can you imagine that?
Because they understood that the inheritance is the people of God's.
Mm.
They understood this idea of dominion.
They knew what it was.
Jesus
they knew
is
what
king.
It meant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
now, of
mm-hmm,
course, the Spanish Empire apostatized and fell away from Jesus and received many cursings and kind of deteriorated.
Right.
Right. But the promise is still there for us, even if it's just in our own family.
Amen.
Even if it's just in our own family. He says to Jesus, he says, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage. The scripture is clear. The nations will bow to Jesus.
Hmm.
And it's not going to be after this heavens and earth are rolled up. It's in this time period within history. It started 2,000 years ago. It's already being established.
Hmm.
So what's the argument against it now?
Why
has our last century been, well, roll it back, give it back?
I think the easiest argument is, well, it doesn't start now.
Mm-hmm.
It starts, after the rapture.
Look,
right?
if I'm really uncharitable,
at the return of Jesus.
Let me just be totally uncharitable.
Everybody, hold on, wait.
Just go for it.
Wait.
Tell me how you really feel.
Okay, go.
You're in the company of friends.
Tell me how you really feel, Brandon.
If it's in the future, then you have no responsibilities now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Life's just easier.
It's coming later.
Let it burn. Why engage? Spend time in your prayer closet in your cloister.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Even though Jesus says, pray that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're extending the kingdom of God over this earth. Pray Thy kingdom come, not Thy kingdom be dramatically and instantaneously taken away.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going on a retreat. We're supposed to be on an advance.
So on that note, I think that's what's actually... So, like, yeah, we're just waiting. We're not doing anything. But I think that the church as a whole right now is used to playing defense and not offense.
We've lost the ability to fight.
We don't know
what a fight.
We don't know what a forward march is anymore.
Like I said originally, yes. Mm-hmm. I said originally, there is a heresy within the church. It's dualistic. It believes that Jesus and spiritual things is only inside the heart and at church on Sunday morning.
Mm, mm-hmm.
That we don't really take the Bible or Jesus with us into all of life.
Right. That's right.
Now, and what people are noticing perhaps now is that this idea leads to the rest of the world coming into the church.
Yes.
You don't
yes.
get to stay safe. There's no neutral territory.
And it's almost like we're waiting for it. The American church as a whole is waiting for somebody else to come in and assault it so that then we can make a move. Then we can play defense. It's
exactly. We have to advance the claims of Christ over every area of life. Not with the sword, but with the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
With husbands raising up their families, making lots of babies, and sending them off into the future with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, this is a big ticket item. Unraveling someone's dualism that they were raised with for the last 40 years is
right.
not easy.
Right.
It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
Right.
It takes time. I get it.
It's going to take time.
And
it's
definitely
stressful.
Scary.
It's stressful.
It's scary and it's stressful and all those things. Like, as you're going through this, you're going to be like, but that means I have to say stuff that's uncomfortable?
Well, maybe. I mean, it depends on your calling. It depends on your calling.
Or maybe I have to just do stuff?
But it means you have a calling. Life is not about just getting money.
And I was going
to
say, we have generations to do it, too.
That's exactly right.
Yes, yes.
That's right. You don't have to figure it all out right
now.
We
have generations to do it. That's right.
Look at your kids and think generations down the road.
Have y'all seen the movie The Chosen?
Awesome.
Well, y'all got to see that movie.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it good? I've seen the clips that pop up on the internet.
Yeah, it's so good.
I was a skeptic. I watched the first 10 minutes. I was like, the acting is a little...
It's awesome.
But then I gave it a little bit more time. Every night, me and the kids
are
in there watching this movie that Christians made. Netflix, boycott Netflix. Who cares? I'm watching The Chosen.
Ted's over here telling me. He's like, I told you, watch it, Stuart. I told you. You should have been paying attention.
All right, I'm taking my lick. I'm telling you. There's not a lot of shows where your eyes are just watered the whole time. Okay?
Okay.
It is so good.
Okay.
It is so good.
All right.
And what I'm saying this for is because there's a scene in there where Jacob has his family and they're working real hard to build the well.
Okay.
He's like, he's just building a well. You know, what's spiritual about that, right? But then they flash forward into the future, and it's that very same well that the woman at the well is at.
Yep, 2,000 years later.
Jesus is sitting there. Mm-hmm. It's just showing how generationally God has a plan. You just have your short life. You have your calling. Mm. Mm. But you got to go forth with some positivity and some hope.
Maybe your children or your grandchildren or your grandchildren, great-grandchildren are the next virgin. Or the next,
Next Jacob who just builds a well.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't sound very significant. Mm. But the well was where the town established and where Jesus met the woman. You see, that's the thing is we try to save the world with our own effort. Mm-hmm. And what God wants is for us to be faithful to what He commands us. Be faithful every day. He can take your one silly little piece of bread and turn it to 5,000.
Amen.
He might do it after you die, you know. You're not going to ever know about it. But he can take anything and multiply it.
Amen.
That's what we... It's not bootstrap religion. You know, it's not even like... It's not like get down to it. We really have to build this kingdom. No, it's be faithful covenantally to his commandments. Do what we're supposed to do. He takes our efforts and he multiplies them. Amen. And the kingdom advances. But for Psalm chapter 2, specific takeaway... The kings and the rulers and the governors and the magistrates and the mayors have their part to play as well in this advance.
Amen.
They have to submit to Jesus and do justice according to his law if they want to take part in his kingdom advance.
And we should say to the people of God and to the pastors that are listening to this right now, that means that somebody has to tell them to. You get what I'm saying?
Well, that's the pastor's job. The pastor doesn't have the sword.
But he's got the word.
He has the word.
That's right.
And oh, I don't want to go off on pastors right now. Pastors,
tell us how you really
pastors have to get some courage to say what the Bible says. Now, unfortunately, pastors can't tell the difference between the Bible and a news network.
Yes.
We have to know what the Bible has to say.
Ooh, he said it!
Right, what does the Bible have to say?
Is that still relevant today?
Right.
I thought I just needed to read like leadership books and maybe like some organizational charts and stuff like that. Then I could lead a church real well.
Light show.
Lightweight.
Dude, we got show names all over the place.
People are giving us show names?
No. I'm saying light shows and lightweights. I like the way that rings.
Ooh, light shows and lightweights.
See, I'm with you, buddy. Don't worry about it. We'll
it's very self-deprecating.
That's cool, man. I'm excited to see this stuff.
Your nickname is Stew Daddy.
Stop it. That is false.
Make it stick, folks.
If I am Stew Daddy, then you're Bad Boy Brandon.
His name is Stupac.
Stupac Shakur. On the ones and twos.
I like that. And the fuzzy mic.
Pastor Brandon, thank you so much for our meaty moment. We got to rename that, too. Thank you very much.
And hey, if folks have some questions or something they want us to tackle
the
show,
that's right.
Then jump in there, let us know. We'd be glad to help.
Guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. After this, we're coming back with Jeff Cook in the hot seat, and we're going to ask him all kinds of fun questions that he doesn't know. Don't look at the sheet. So that you don't know. But we'll be right back after this.
I think the core of what I want my kids to learn is offered here. I want them to learn to read well, to write well, and ultimately to learn about God, to point them to Christ.
I believe that the education here is top-notch, and that my kids will be able to think and reason and have logical arguments, you know, as they grow, and they'll be able to go into any field that they want with the background of the classical model.
Hi, I'm Brandon Neely, pastor and principal here at Christ Church Academy. Deciding what school to send your children to can be one of the most difficult and important decisions a parent ever has to make, and we want to make that easy for you. At our open house, you'll be able to meet our K-4 through 8th grade teachers. You can also tour our facilities, take a look at the curriculum, and meet some of the other parents that are engaged in educating their children. And hopefully catch the spirit and see a bit of what we're building at Christ Church Academy.
Do you want a truly Christian education that teaches all of Christ in all of life, which truly matters? And if you want kids that can stand firm through the trials of this world, this is the school for you.
What's up, guys? We're back. So obviously the open house is not February 1st at 9 a.m., but we are going to be having our Christchurch open house.
It could be.
It could be.
Might.
It might be. Let's say just save the date just in case. It's not going to be that date. But if you're looking for a place to put your kids in a classical Christian school that teaches your kids to think and reason well, we want to encourage you guys to take a look at. Just take a look. Don't have to sign any papers. You don't have to. We're not going to make you look at anything. We're just take a look at Christ Church Academy and
now,
see what you think about.
At Christ Church Academy, the kids are behind plastic shields, right?
Face shield and mask.
Full body condoms.
Goggles.
Oh my God!
All of it. Something
too far?
Not too
far.
That.
That was too far.
Bubble boy.
That was too far.
Bubble boy.
I'll say it.
Bubble boy is like, in order to pass in their homework, you have to put on a glove and go through the bubble.
That's the Chinese place in town. Have you seen that? Whenever you get
plastic
your food,
plastic all the
out.
Way around. Teachers are in slide scrubs. Like, what we decided to do is, since everyone's in full-blown panic, you know, let's just go ahead and have atomic drills, too. Get under your table, pretend like the Soviets are coming.
Cold and this desk is going
to
protect
terrify you.
You
little children. You know, just be scared to death and trust the government to save you. Don't get me started now.
Oh.
No, actually, there's no masks. None of that nonsense.
No.
No magic wizard wands. You know, we're not waving anything. No.
Our kids go to school and have a great time. They don't know anything.
They don't even know
on.
That
no.
A cold civil war is brewing.
They've forgotten about
they
it.
They don't even know about any of this stuff. They're just having good times. They're being children.
Yeah.
They're reading Dante and Beowulf like children should.
In the third grade, right?
So my fourth grader has read over 20 books. I didn't do that till I was 25.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. My kids are like, Dad.
That's actually pretty good. Because I think I read one book by 25.
My kids are like, Dad, I finished all the Narnia books. I'm like, yeah. all of them?
Oh, it's
all?
Amazing.
Because yep. I read those like last year. Like, you read them all now? Okay. You
read all of them.
Good
That's
job.
Exactly right.
All right.
In ninth grade, they read Mein Kampf.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what kind of school is this that we're talking about now?
One that engages with the teachings of the world.
You've got to be inoculated.
Ooh.
Seventh and eighth grade, they read Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul, Lord of the Rings trilogy, Narnia. Mm.
we need that on the queue. What is wrong with you?
It's not
people?
Installed yet.
We
it will.
Need it there. It will we need it right there.
If we unloaded the book list, it's amazing. But we are actively seeking to raise up children to follow all of Christ and all of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. So I hope they come to the school. You have to be a faithful church member to go to the school.
That's the qualifier. That's right. You
because
be
it's the parents' job
member.
To disciple and raise up the children.
Correct.
We partner with parents. We don't try to take over the
we're
parents.
Not running. We're not growing. We're not parenting your kids for you. That's absolutely correct. We
That's
are
right.
partnering with you to raise
them. In fact, when the kid is, if they are disobedient through the various hierarchy of discipline, the father or the mother comes to the school and administers discipline.
You mean just talks to them?
No, spank
them in the corner.
Wait.
The rod of correction.
Hold on. That's inappropriate.
That's straight Bible.
We need that on the soundbite, too. Straight Bible. Like that needs to be there. That needs to be there. All right, guys, we're heading into the last segment of our show. This is new for us. We've never done this before, but welcome for the first time to the hot seat. We got the fire sound effect happening right there. So here's the deal with this particular show. This might turn out to be one of our favorite moments. Is we're going to invite somebody, maybe from Christchurch, maybe from a little local political office or different things like that. We're going to put them on the hot seat. It's a time of maybe...
Inquisition.
Maybe a little bit of public shaming. Maybe a little bit of judgment.
I'll raise my flag.
I quit. Hold on.
Most people think I'm just this really nice guy. But they really do what I thought.
You don't have a problem being transparent.
No.
That's never my issue. I know. That's very true.
I just do it with a smile, and I'm like, oh, he's okay.
You're a guy that holds back. You're a guy that kind of restrains a little bit until you don't at all. So I feel like that's good. That's a manly way to live. Some questions will be kind of easy. Some will be not easy. It takes the testicles to be able to pull a seat off like this. That's a reference to a local place. But if you make it through this seat, if you make it through Jeff Cook to the other side,
all right,
you get the bragging rights, bro.
First one, huh?
You get to. We should have like a badge or a medal. Like I made it through the hot seat.
You get free beer, right, all night long.
Well, whatever. So this
Brandon
is,
said he's buying it.
It burns when you drink it. So.
This section brought to you by Blue Moon and Costco Whiskey. Okay, moving on.
Come on, son.
So anyway, bragging rights for the rest of your life. Introducing for the first hot seat ever here at Christ Church, we have the Jeff Cook, ladies and gentlemen. Sales director.
Round of applause?
Oh.
Is that happening?
We need that. Where's the studio audience? Live studio audience. There it is. Woo! They played in. Thank you very much. Also, if you want to be a part of our live studio audience, ask me for an invitation. Invite only. Okay, moving on. So, Jeff, we got three questions for you.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it?
You have not seen these. Well, we're going to have more, okay. I'm sure. Okay. That's gonna. We got three starter questions.
Okay.
Let's say it that way. You've not seen these questions before, correct?
Correct.
Did you cheat and look at the sheet?
Incorrect.
Oh, yes. Okay, he's not seen these questions before. Don't look at my computer. No lying.
Okay.
We're going to roll through these bad boys. So, first, question number one. Jeff Cook, you work at a car dealership. Well,
13 years.
A car dealership. We should say that differently.
Sterling Automotive.
Sterling Automotive. You run like 50 car dealerships.
Shameless plug? 12.
12 dealerships.
12 car dealerships.
Huge dealerships. Mm.
That's right.
Massive. Just opened a new one in Lafayette, right? Over on
College Saloon.
College Saloon. Mm-hmm. Another shameless plug. Why not?
Yeah.
Jeff.
If you're in the hot seat, you get all the shameless plugs you want.
Yeah, because the hard questions come right after it. Okay, right. Here we go. Question number one. Jeff. Can a Christian make a living selling cars?
Yes.
Expound on
glorifying God.
Like, can I get this question a lot?
There
okay.
you go. Absolutely.
You think so?
The biggest thing that we try to do, myself included, is you have a product. You're behind that product. You treat people fairly. You want to help everyone that comes through your door. You treat them with dignity.
Mm.
And there's a fair, honest profit that has to be made. So there's nothing wrong with a profit. It's when you try to take advantage of people. You know, there's plenty of people that come in different situations. That, you know, I try to teach our people. We want to help the community. We want to benefit Acadiana.
Mm.
Our mission statement really is like three things. You know, we want to be committed to excellence. We want to be professional. And we want to take pride in what we do.
Mm.
So in all things, we can benefit, you know, our community. People need transportation and they need to be treated fairly.
Can I do a follow-up?
Yeah.
I like that.
Those three things, where were they now?
Committed to excellence.
Okay, excellence.
Professional, and take pride in proud of what you do.
Yeah. The development of those priorities,
mm-hmm.
is that biblical? Does that come out of the Bible?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. So
Christ is in the car dealership.
Wait.
Completely.
No, hold on. There's separation. We can't have Jesus.
Separation of church and car lot.
That's right. It's not allowed. There's no overlap here. Work is secular, right?
We teach our people it is not.
Boom. No. You actually have training for this.
I do.
Do you really?
I teach all our new hires for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Then we get into a lot of philosophy. We get into a lot of why we work. And I try to build a foundation of, no, hey, listen, we can work unto God. We can work to benefit our community and make a good living doing it.
Amen.
Amen.
Well done.
There is a benefit. Like when someone, you have a car,
mm-hmm.
another person, this is just an economics moment, yep. you have a car, the other person has money.
Yep.
when they want the car more than the money.
Because it'll benefit their life more than
that
money.
Right. That's you want the money more than the car.
Correct.
As that, when that exchange takes place, both people are benefited.
That's right.
Yep.
That's why free market capitalism is not the big bad wolf that everyone speaks about.
That's literal wealth creation.
It is how God has wired the world. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some evil people that do evil things, the media calls them capitalists. Mm-hmm. But don't believe the hype. When you sell something to another person, they want the item, you want the money, both are benefited through this contract that takes place.
Think if the government wasn't in the middle taking 10% every time.
Snatching it up back and forth.
Is it
That's
only
exactly
10%?
Right.
Well, just the sales tax in my business is 10%.
Considerably.
Yeah. Well, plus title, registration, all of it. So, no, it's well more than 10%. But.
Yeah, they got their hand in the cookie jar everywhere.
I know.
But you can, as a Christian, in the automotive business, you are providing a value to people.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we want to take the approach that we want to be a beacon on a hill in the selling cars.
Absolutely.
And servicing cars and
That's
helping
awesome.
People.
That's awesome. To have a reputation of, like, because car lots get such a bad rap.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And, like, I mean, well-deserved at times.
Sure.
Yeah.
You got the lemon accusations. You got all those things. So to be a Christian working in this business, fighting for it to operate according to Christian means and Christian values.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, we've bought, by this point, 4 cars from Sterling in some way, shape, or form. And, well, I feel like we got really great deals on all of them, so I don't know if you actually made money
you
on
did.
Us. Okay.
Yeah, you did. No, the good thing is I think over the 13 years, I probably sold 200 cars to members of Christ Church.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's
exactly
awesome.
Right.
Well done.
Well done. Amen.
All right, question 2. Jeff Cook, you got a vision for your grandkids?
Grandkid, not kid.
Not kid.
My
That's
grandkids. Too easy. Grandkids.
I do.
What's it look like?
I would love them to live in a Christian Acadiana.
Woo!
That starts with my family. You know, that's why my kids are at Christ Church Academy.
Right, right.
That's why we are faithful members of Christ Church.
Wait, let's say that real quick.
Faithful members of Christ Church. That's right. I don't just pop in a Sunday here, Sunday there.
So, like,
we're
Sunday,
in church.
Some Sundays you're like,
you know.
I'm feeling kind of tired.
Oh, you played late last night.
I'm worn out.
The saints are at noon. Like,
so the fourth commandment of the 10 is important to you, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yes. Honor the Sabbath.
If it's not, just
it's
break
all
them all.
Important. It's all important.
If you don't do that one, then what's the point of the rest?
That's right. Amen. That's good.
So, no, I want my kids to have influence. I want my kids to live in a godly world, but where they're influencers. I want them to build culture.
Amen.
You know, I want them to build businesses, all those things.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And that starts with, passing that to my kids, who ultimately have to pass to my grandkids.
Mm.
And I'm working to give them money to do it.
Wait,
I want to.
Let's say that part again, too.
What now?
So, I need to save up money so that they have a better starting point than I did.
Amen.
And that our church can grow, our school can
so
grow.
So the snowball builds
mm-hmm.
as the inheritance is passed down.
That's a legacy
they
mindset.
Now, what if you have Christians everywhere, okay, like a whole town of Christians, they're having lots of kids, they're passing their inheritance down. Over time, what would you call that? You'd call that a Christian society.
Yep.
A very prosperous
on a hill.
One.
Mm-hmm.
A city on a hill showing people that God's way is
better
in the real and in the now.
Yep.
That's right.
Now, I do want my son to be the governor of Louisiana.
That's a very specific desire.
We'll see if that happens one
the
day.
The shepherd
I'll
of
have
Louisiana.
To get into some politics down the road before that'll happen.
Very specific.
If you're looking to get into politics, we
and
know
then,
a marketing firm that can
shepherd
help
would get up there and say, we don't do abortion here.
Well, boom.
That's on. Y'all can smoke your pot. That's federally illegal everywhere else. We just don't abort babies here.
Boom.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You mean he would just have an executive order that mandates it throughout the whole state, and everyone would assume it's a law and abide by it?
That's the rules we play by now, so you might as well.
Might as well take advantage.
You can't do that.
Wait a second.
Well, flip that around.
If we put
abortion to a vote in Louisiana, what do you think would happen?
Exactly.
It'd be done in a heartbeat.
Correct.
In
but you got a federal court that just is done. It's deemed. Yep. Whatever.
Court rulings aren't law. That's another episode for us to talk about later.
Yep.
And you don't have to follow it either, though. It's more like a suggestion.
Ooh, say it again. So, Jeff Cook, I think you already
Sorry,
got
guys.
In there. No, you're doing good.
Did I get us in trouble?
You're doing good. Keep rolling, buddy. Keep rolling. We don't, how did we say that yesterday? We don't reject the government.
No, we don't disobey mandates.
Yep.
We disregard them.
Correct.
Because they have no
prerogative or jurisdiction over us.
Not a law.
They are not law proof.
Nope.
Tyranny proof, baby.
And
tyranny
if you need a list proof of places where you can go and not wear masks, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Our school, our church.
I don't ever wear one.
No, I haven't. July, I think, was the last time we carried one.
Like, you, nah, we don't do that. The other day, one of my buddies, he's walking through the store, and they're like, sir, could you put on a mask? He's like, no.
And that was it.
I was like, man, like, you got to be nice to them. He's like, no. No.
He just was done. Moving
like,
on.
There's a lot of power in the word no.
Damn.
Sit in the back of the bus. It's an arbitrary rule. You know, science, healthcare. No. Drink from the little fountain.
No.
Healthcare, science, swim at your own swimming pool time. No.
Dang.
No.
That happened. I think we already kind of answered question three, though.
What's that?
Question number three was, what are you doing to accomplish that vision today? We touched on it just a little bit. But
faithful church attendance in community with other Christians, because I mean, we all have the potential to take a hard nosedive at times. So, you know,
can we
you
talk
need
about
faithful men to keep
amen
you wrangled in a
amen
little bit?
So who out there, we should talk about this for a little bit of a second, too. So COVID hit. There's a couple of months where every church in the country is trying to figure out what the heck they're going to do.
Yeah, we think that maybe like it is invented in some like biological warfare lab.
Like this is like a real thing.
Going on.
We're all about to die. Like who the heck knows what's going on? Churches aren't meeting for a little while. I want to take a poll of who feels like they spiritually flourished during the time when churches weren't meeting.
Not even close.
Nobody was. Mm-mm. Everybody was floundering around like this. The virtual church thing, you know, we did as best as we possibly could. We got pastors talking to their computers. We're trying to supplement through different things. But I think that everybody took a hit over that time. We talk about all the time where we say, make Sundays non-negotiable.
No, it's tough. The Bible tells us very clearly to quarantine the sick. That is a good thing. That's, in fact, something the magistrate is supposed to be responsible for, to quarantine the sick. And then pastors, historically, would visit the sick so that they could deal with their loneliness, their depression, all the things that come along with being quarantined.
And we killed people by quarantining them.
Well, what do we do?
Started to jump right to it.
We quarantine the healthy. The whole nation is quarantined. All the churches are quarantined. This is not how the Bible has it. You quarantine the sick. The healthy have to continue. We can't all be put in isolation and in solitude.
Well, and the elderly, that literally killed them. I mean, you took away people away from their family that are already sick, and they have nothing to live for.
Yes, and we've seen this in the statistics throughout the country. Absolutely. Yep. And that's why I'm telling you, God's law is better. God's law is better.
Amen.
And God's law teaches us, you don't just quarantine all of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be made safe by government mandate. No. You quarantine the sick, pastors minister to them, reach out to them, but the rest of the world goes on, especially with a 99.99 success rate.
Yeah.
So
That's right. Jeff, thank you so much for sitting in the hot seat. Guys, questions for Jeff? Anything like that?
No, I think it's encouraging that a Christian is in the car business, following all of Christ and all of life.
Amen.
We need every person in that hot seat to be showing how to follow Christ in their particular calling and sphere.
Amen.
I think that's key.
It's a lost thing. Like, you can only serve God by being part of the church or a pastor. Or
right.
No.
Pastor, I want to go into ministry. Like, you are in ministry.
Correct.
Who are
you're
you
already there, baby.
Are you a man?
Right.
Find a wife.
There you go.
Boom. Find a wife.
Whoa.
Have a kid.
Whoa.
Multiple kids.
Whoa. Hold on. Jeff, we weren't ready yet. Jeff, we weren't ready yet. Hold on.
That's your calling.
Woo.
Yep.
Hey, Jeff.
Thanks for employing me, man.
You're welcome. You see? You can benefit the community there, too.
Boom. Look at that. Guys, that's all we have for this week's episode of
we're done.
Whatever the heck this show is called.
Thank y'all for having me. This was fun.
Man, glad to be a part, Jeff. You're welcome to come back anytime, bro. We got a chair for you just about every week. Guys, thank y'all so much for tuning in to our live studio audience of literally hundreds of people. You guys can't see it here, but there's hundreds of thousands of people in this room right
now. True. That's true.
It's fantastic. Rawr, the crowds go wild. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. If you have any questions or anything that you'd like to see on this show, you can email me, Stuart@wearechristchurch.com. We'd be happy to hear your suggestions or questions later on. Maybe we'll add new content or new segments to the show later on over time. And until we see you guys next time, we hope to hear your questions, hear your thoughts, hear your comments, and thank you for watching.
Share the show.
The best bad podcast on the internet. You guys take it easy.
Take care.
We'll see you next time.